Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hour, Willie's here, it's Cofield. Griffin's back in the Finley Toyota Studios. Two big national something days this week to mention. Right out of the gates, I want your advice. National, I always love some big industry that's like, hey, we need a day. National Fresh Breath Day. You said this is very important in our world. I agree with that.
Hang on a second. I'm just finishing up this Lifesaver Breath Mint that I just finished off.
Because is that your go-to?
I go to Office Depot and get the big, or Staples or whatever. I just get the big bag and keep it at the house. And I load up the top compartment of my backpack with about 50 of them. So I always have them on hand, because when we're in a scrum, I can only imagine 30 guys in front of all these pro athletes and them going, oh, man, there's that one guy with the breath. There's this guy with the that doesn't wear deodorant. They're just, I'm going to make sure that out of respect, you're going to be in somebody's face. I don't want to be the guy with bad breath.
I tell you, we have a big reunion from back in the day. Bunch of dudes from the radio company, Sports Fan Radio Network.
Yeah, you told them.
There is a guy in the group who was known for having bad breath, and he's coming in, and I already thought about that.
Tart. Very tart.
Maybe he got it fixed. I think it might have been like a gingivitis issue.
Well, a lot of times it's just a matter of, you know, you don't floss, you have plaque, you have tartar, whatever, it builds up, and then no matter what, you brush your teeth once a day, but all that crap that builds up in the saliva, it's just nasty. It's just nasty.
What's more important for you, the breath mint or some pungent cologne? Or is it both? Because you're just an organized gentleman.
Yeah. If I'm going somewhere professionally, I'm going to smell good. I'm going to have a breath. I'm going to have if I'm going for work, I'm having my backpack. So there's going to be breath mints or gum. And I'm spritzing cologne on. It's just going
to
happen.
You have mints in the car?
I have my bag.
Okay. And do you have a spritz with you all the time?
No.
To reapply?
No.
Has there ever been a time when someone said you overdid it with a cologne?
Yes.
I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even if you overdo it, you smell nice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you personally, but.
No, you know who had that reputation?
Who?
I mean, I'm going off the rails here. It's not a media member, but if you listen to all the podcasts since The Sopranos went off the air, like the big one with Shrippin and Imperioli, and then there's one with
Pauly Walnuts.
Yeah.
He overdid it?
Yeah.
I'd rather have that, though.
Jamie Lynn and Robert, I can't think of his last name, the AJ and Meadow, they do one.
Huh?
They always talk about, and you know what? Which cologne it was? Obsession. Remember Obsession?
Yeah.
Pauly Walnuts, he always had that on, and he always had the Banaca right before every scene. The Banaca.
Well, that's good. That's considerate.
Right. It's just, I guess it was really overpowering, but...
Yeah.
You're asking me the question, so I'm telling you, but I generally get the, oh, man, you smell good.
Exactly.
From men
you
and
put
women.
On the right amount.
Yeah, but it's you know why? Did we talk about it the other day? Because I got the right citrusy kind. That Dolce Gabbana light blue.
I know, my donut smells are coming in. I ordered them the other day. Come on, man. That Boston cream donut deodorant and shampoo is going to be lovely.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah. Rest in peace, our old buddy Dave Kokin. They've always had something on.
I will sometimes.
A little spritz.
Like at a football game or when we're going into, like we're packing up after the Aces or the Golden Knights, whatever, and I'll just grab a handful and I'll hand them out to one, two people. But they always take it like, he's trying to tell me something? No.
Maybe.
I'm just.
But so what? Take it.
No, there are times where I'm actually giving to someone because their breath is wretched. But if they ask me, I'll tell them, yeah, your breath's tart, bro.
I need to up my game and be more prepared. This is a new coach for UNLV football and basketball. The football conversation is very intimate. Because especially at Allegiant, it's so loud when you get to that one corner.
Yes.
When they're going up the tunnel, the coach gets right in there.
Yeah.
I cannot give, you know, the dragon breath.
Yeah.
Let his You know what? Can I get into something real quick?
Yeah.
Here's another maintenance deal. By the way, Griffin, did we say anything wrong on the what's more important, The breath mint or the cologne?
Oh, breath mint, 100%. If you got a little sweat to you, you got a little BO, it is what it is. But if your mouth just reeks, you can fix that. If you don't, there's a problem.
Breath is it it.
Do I out someone of my name that I interviewed one time and I was like,
yes.
Wow, this is incredible.
Why not?
Are you sure? I'm going to do it off the air.
Okay.
I don't like doing that because
I've heard. Is the coach still active?
In media.
Oh, yeah, don't do it.
I've heard other radio shows mention hygiene of people, like celebrities, and that's it. Once they say it, that's my impression of that person. I'll give you a good example. That old show, Opie and Anthony, talked about Jennifer Tilly as being real smelly.
Really?
And I can't get it out of my gourd.
Because now you expect, like if I were to ever, like if someone were to tell you somebody from Sam Houston State, oh man, I went there and I'll never forget, the head coach had the worst breath ever. It's going to stick in your head from the second that you go up to, because you're going to be thinking about it.
And this is not fair. Sometimes you get impressions of people from afar that they just kind of look funky or they look kind of scaly, their skin. And I've always thought that about Belichick.
Not anymore.
And the other one. It better not be the case.
Not anymore.
That could be one of the good things Jordan Hudson has done for him.
She's cleaned him up.
Yeah. I hope she trims his nails. I didn't like that look. For a while he was wearing the jeans.
Nose hair and ear hair.
He was wearing the jeans with the flip flops.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, he's got some talons. I guarantee he's got some talons. Just shredding people up. But you're right, the nose hair. I try to watch that. I try to be real careful on that because, it's funny. This is like grade A material for any old male comedian where they're like, lost my hair up top and it grows everywhere else. Oh, but man, sometimes you gotta look in the mirror with a good lighting in the car.
Listen,
by the way, are we on the air? We're just having this conversation. Just a flow of just too much information. I got the little trimmer in the car. I have a little basket now. I'm trying to get organized. I got a little basket in the seat next to me for different things.
You got a toiletry bag?
I might need it. We're on the road all the time in the fall.
What are we gonna do about the beard? The different shades of color of beard.
Well,
you're okay with it. I'm not.
I mean, mine. No, I know.
Mine.
It looks terrible. I've discussed it at home about coloring it. I've been told don't do that. My face has gotten a little thinner. I have a feeling if I shave the beard off, then I'm going to be like, oh, wow, I really do have that saggy double neck blubber thing. Yeah. So that's not a good look. So we'll see.
Yeah. If I
– It's up. It's just, once you grow kind of a lazy beard and all you got to do is trim it, it's hard to go back to shaving all the time.
I get it. There's nothing wrong with the beard.
Looks like ass. It's 14 colors.
I just don't like the tricolor thing that I get going on when I do mine. So that's why I have to.
You're projecting you onto me. I know what you're saying. I get it.
Just trying to help you out.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot more appearances between all the filming that you do of this show, your sideline work. You're going to be on the air. I mean, You are trimming down.
I'm trying.
You stuck to it. You stuck to your guns. You said you would.
This is the tough part, though. Once the football season comes and there's late nights, there's a lot of fatty food. I'll tell you one of the things that I was thinking about it the other day. There's nothing more that I like than post football games and having a big freaking thing of food on the plane. But at like 11 at night for night games. That's death.
It's really whatever. Everybody's got their own.
But you move, you exercise.
Everybody's got their own rationale on eating late or eating. I mean, in reality, if you're on the plane at 11 o'clock and you're eating, you're not going to bed for a couple hours. You're fine. I'm not saying it's okay.
It's a lifeline. I'm going to remember this. Willie, like on the plane, be like, Willie said it's okay.
I mean, you're fine. Here's the one thing I'm going to tell you when you're on the
road. Where's the mac and cheese? Let's go.
You need to control. Here's what you need to make sure you control when you're on the road.
Yep.
Repeat after me. Can I sub out the fries? Say it.
You're right.
Say it.
I need to sub out the fries and get veggies.
You don't even have to get veggies. Don't get the fries.
I get it.
And then when you have a craving, treat yourself once a week on your off day with the SO. Pull out the air fryer and just air fry some.
Pull out the air fryer.
I air fry some.
It's out all the time. I don't have to pull it out. It's out all the time.
Oh no, I keep mine in the pantry.
It's a staple deal.
Nice.
Yeah. I got a nice rice cooker. We're going to keep going with this. I got a nice rice cooker from Magnum.
Mine's in the pantry beautifully. Next to the right.
White rice. No more brown rice. You told me no brown rice. Yeah. White rice.
That's right.
I'm another white rice. So the reason I'm doing all this is last night's Hard Knocks episode for the Bills. I thought it was pretty good. I'm really into Hard Knocks. I love it a lot. Griffin has some good points that he wanted to get into. But we all wrote down the ice cream shop that Tre'Davious White went to. And it just so happened to be National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day on Monday.
Yeah.
And Trey Day was like, hey, you know what? I didn't know what he was getting at. He kind of pulled a Willie action. He's up at the counter and he's like, hey. No, he didn't do that. He almost got it. He's like, let me get a couple of chocolate chip cookies.
And hot fudge.
And he heat them up and give me the hot fudge. I thought he was just getting cookies with hot fudge.
Yeah.
But he was actually constructing a double cookie hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
I mean.
Almost like a. Like
my
a,
favorite
like,
player.
Like his own style of a pazuki.
It was. It looked good.
Yeah.
Did you think he was overboard? No. And they ask? He's a famous guy. And they're in Rochester at camp.
Wait a minute. Whether he's a famous guy or not, if you walk into a place and it's capable of doing it,
I don't do
now,
that. I don't ask for stuff.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is the situation in which I am an anti-flip the iPad over, ask for – I mean, I walk into the daycare joint for my dog and they're asking for tips just to bring up front. But I am totally against all the extra tippage that takes place. But you go into a place like that and you're ordering off the menu and they're catering to you, big shot or not. Then that's where you come in and you take care of them for doing what they do for you.
Well, let's be honest. I think he probably drove a tremendous amount of business moving forward. Because they're gonna add basically it was two cookies at the bottom of the dish or bowl with it looked like multiple scoops of some kind of ice cream, vanilla ice cream, hot fudge on the top of it. I mean
what are they gonna call it? The Tre'Day Sunday?
Yep, that's what it sounded like. And if they put it on the menu and now you get the push from being on HBO, they're going to make a lot of money off of
this. And who's going to go there? Syracuse students.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Aren't they nearby?
I think you got to look it up. I'm not upstate New York. I don't know.
I thought that was. Or maybe that's just
you're right. I'm not doing it. I know 70 miles away. That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
I know Rochester from Buffalo because they said it in Hard Knocks.
Oh, gotcha.
Or at least voice guy did. Now I'm blanking on his name, who I love, and now I'm forgetting it.
The narrator?
Yeah.
You putting me on the
spot. Totally blanked.
Liv Schreiber.
Yep. Love him. He's awesome. He's so good. So good.
What was the show on Showtime that he was in? Ray Donovan. Great show.
The Fixer. Yeah. I love Fixers. What'd you think? Hey, Griffin, for you, since you're closer to college age, what'd you think of the Bills being one of the few NFL teams on, it's featured in Hard Knocks, but one of the few NFL teams that still goes out of town and goes to a college and stays in the dorms?
Yeah, I thought it was actually an advantage for the Buffalo Bills and any team that does end up going away for camp. There's something about going away for a football team where you really have the ability to be isolated, like they were talking about on the show. You know, the entire team is in one location. You have no choice but to hang out with each other and, spend all your free time not when you're not in meetings, when you're not at practice, just you're spending it with your teammates because it's either that or you're just sitting in whatever dorm room they put you in and, counting your teeth. So I thought going away for camp is a real good advantage for them instead of staying home and having the comforts of home. So I thought it was cool seeing them do that.
I love that idea.
What creature comfort could you not do without? Because they were showing the players bringing certain things, extra pillows. What's something if you went to a basic dorm at a college now and you're like, I can't live like this. Like, I have to have this.
That's for me or him?
Both of you guys. Because one of the things that sparked me was one of the guys is like, here's my next level toilet paper. Like, I got to have a whole setup. I might bring a Rode bidet.
Well, I mean, since you brought it to that conversation, I would definitely.
Yep.
I've actually contemplated Brit starting bringing them to the press box. to games.
Are you also going to lend those out?
No.
Every once in a while, someone's like, yeah, I gotta go. Here you go. Here's some wipes. Because one of the guys got me as well. I don't know if you have a bad back or, whatever, the sciatica, any of that. But one guy was talking about having two of the mattresses pushed together, and he's like, it'll do. It's not home, but it'll do. I mean, mattresses sometimes, like a basic college dorm mattress. I mean, these are premium athletes, or, they're 20-somethings, but I might have a tough time on that. get up and be like, Coach, I gotta warm up for like, I need 6 hours to loosen up here. That freaking bed killed me.
The problem is you're thinking about what those guys are going through, but as you are like how your body feels now, that's not,
they're machines.
You can't do that. Yeah.
And I wasn't like that back then either.
And you got to remember the whole staff is there. They're getting massages. They're getting treatment. They're getting stretched out.
Yeah, that's
they're
a
getting,
good point.
So, I mean, they're getting everything done that the college kids are not at that in those dorms.
I'll tell you what was great, though. One, we're talking about Hard Knocks. Don't want to spoil all of it, but we're going to. You got to watch it on Tuesday because on Wednesdays we're devotees of the show. The Bills are on it. The stadium tour of the new stadium in Buffalo. What struck you in that stadium tour? Because there's a couple things that hit me.
Josh Allen brought up saunas or something. I was
that,
like, what?
That hit me. I think they had a heating issue with the sauna and maybe the hot tubs or whatever they're called. And the builder's like, I know about it at the other stadium.
Yeah. You know what I immediately did when they started coming up? I was like, this is going to come up. We're going to talk about the new stadium. I immediately broke into got all because – we've talked about it whenever there's a new stadium, but I immediately went and got the numbers so that way we could talk, because all we do in this town is talk about public funding and where it was. Yeah. So the new Highmark Stadium is scheduled to open in time for the 2026 season. Construction is supposed to be done by July of next year, with finishing touches extending to December. The stadium is primarily funded through a combination of public and private financing. Specifically, New York State and Erie County are contributing $850 million in public funds. The state's providing $600 million, and the county's contributing $250 million. So basically, they're getting a loan, and they're getting they're getting loans.
It's the most expensive publicly funded stadium. From a public funding standpoint, it's the most expensive stadium in NFL history.
Okay. No more griping about Allegiant.
Allegiant looks cheap comparatively. Our $750 million plus contribution,
and it's doing pretty well to pay that loan off.
Griffin, how much were you paying attention to, one, Josh Allen talking science during practice, and two, the pitch by the stadium guy that there's not going to be any wind in a stadium in Buffalo?
That's watching him talking all those numbers and science during, I believe it was right before the offense took the field. One made me realize I definitely would, if I had the body for it, great, but I definitely would mind to be in the NFL. The fact that those boys are that on top about science and the topics they were going about, I have no idea about, not even back when I was in school. But the stadium itself, I actually truly love the Bills Stadium. I'm hoping that in the near future, when my Chicago Bears build their new stadium, this is the model we do it after. Because not having the wind is great, but the having the elements still be playing a factor, where you have the roof covering, I believe it was 70% of the fans, but it still is open. Like, that is amazing. That is what these NFL, especially these teams that are in crazier climates, they need to include that, because it keeps that, you know, the advantage of, we know how to play in the cold, we know how to play in the snow, and you don't. Like, so I loved the stadium overall. That was like one of my favorite parts of the episode.
What a concept, right? So let me go back to the question first. Josh Allen trying to do his science talk with the players, other players, I thought was two, if you're that into science. My first instinct when the builder was talking about perforations in the stadium that let the wind go through and don't swirl, I was like, I don't know if I buy that one. Like, Josh Allen, if you're that curious into science, like, I really would have started pressing the guy on, like, perforations. Like, why hasn't anyone else come up with this to reduce the effect of the swirl in the stadium? I thought that conversation was a little bit weird. The roof over the covers over the stands, I think, is brilliant. And I heard last week, one of the guys who's in charge of the new stadium in Northwestern, right? He was saying the same thing. They're going to have most of the stadium for the fans is covered. And the concept, where do they get it? From soccer stadiums. Mm. And he's like, why would you want the fans to be getting rained on and snowed on? Like, that's all for the field. And that's it. Like, we're going to charge all this money for tickets. Let's have them covered. I was like, wow, what a concept. Took 90 years of stadium building for people to go, hey, what about the fans? Do we care about them? I like that touch.
Freaking genius.
There was a lot there.
It is genius, and it's a great idea. My question is, if you're going to go to that extent and you played years in Orchard Park, are you trying to sort of still embrace the elements of Buffalo in the winter and have that home field advantage? Why not just build a damn dome?
Too much money. Like another
too much billion. Money. We just went over what they got.
It'd probably go like to $3 billion.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got two stadiums here. Well, I'm sure Allegiant, they thought about it. They kind of, it's a covered, you know, stadium. It's not a dome.
Right.
The concept is interesting.
Dome, covered stadium, whatever.
I mean, you look back a couple of years, and when the Kansas City Chiefs played the Dolphins in the playoffs, yep. The cold definitely played a factor and was a benefit for the Chiefs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they're keeping for the home field advantage. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's cool, because that's a great example, Griffin, that you bring up. Because that Kansas City game against Miami, yes, the field was impossible. The Dolphins didn't adjust. They also had, like, hundreds of people lose fingers and toes in the stands. Now, I don't know if having it covered would have saved them. But wouldn't that be nice to have, like, heated surfaces in the stands? Go, like, next level on that one.
Hand out hand warmers.
Whatever. You know what? In the end, and I'm not saying whatever to you, whatever they can do to provide more creature comforts for fans when they're paying hundreds and thousands of dollars to go to the games,
yeah.
Screw the elements. No one wants to sit in that garbage.
Mr. L.A., Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we're watching Hard Knocks. I promise we didn't ruin every element of episode one, but we talked about a lot of them. Give it a watch. Bills are on it. They're staying at a dorm at, St. John Fisher University. And we were talking about creature comforts as an older person, where you look at a dorm room and you're like, man, I don't think I could do that anymore. Kind of spoiled. And Griffin mentioned he needs the big body pillow.
That's didn't a big somebody one. Have that?
Someone had a weird one. It was like a pregnancy
a
pillow.
Maternity
yeah. I didn't know what the hell that was. It looked like it was like 11 feet long, though.
I think it's supposed to be behind you, so they have on their back.
Really?
Do you think a Arash would have to have
I don't know. That's where I was going. You ruined the segue. Arash, I was going somewhere. Arash, you were at Oxnard yesterday. You know what? I'm not real familiar with the Cowboys setup up there. So what is their setup? Where are they actually practicing? And I assume they're not in a dorm. They're in a nice hotel.
Well, so I think they're at the courtyard by Marriott that's connected to their practice facility. You know, the facility. You know, this used to be a golf course, and it has really changed over the years. I mean, they've really built this community around where the Cowboys have had camp. And again, they've had camp there for, I don't even know, I mean, like, probably like 20 years, let's just say. I mean, I remember like Parcells was the coach and Chan Gailey was the coach prior to that. And obviously, so they've been having camp here for quite some time, several Hard Knocks. It's really cool because they got grandfathered in when the Raiders had training camp here a year ago. You know, they could not open it up to like local fans. Like even local media, I think, had a hard time covering it. I mean, the league does not want half the league, you know, coming out to Los Angeles to have camp. So, but the Cowboys got grandfathered in because they've had camp here for so long. So, you know, they have their pro shop. They got, like, you know, team sales, and they really do a cool job there.
How far is Oxnard from Manhattan Beach?
It's a good hour. I would say, like, an hour and a half. But the good thing, Steve, as you know, from, like, Woodland Hills, it's, like, less than 1 hour. So with the Cowboys having a joint practice with the Rams, it wasn't too far from where they practice.
Okay, let's talk about Cowboys camp in general before we get to the Rams element of it. How well attended is this thing, and has fan support dropped off at all, or are the Cowboys still the king in terms of attendance at training camps?
Yeah, you know, it's dropped off somewhat, but that's only because there's so much happening here. I mean, with Chargers camp and Rams camp and Cowboys camp, but the city of like Oxnard itself has really embraced this team. You go to the team shop, and I'll tweet about this. I forgot to yesterday. Like they have like 805 like Oxnard, California Cowboys gear. So they've really kind of adopted the community. But like the stands are full, but it's not as crazy as it used to be. Like prior to Los Angeles having not only one team but two teams.
Jerry Jones' mood. How was he in discussing, you know, news items? Because there's a lot going on right now. He's been getting kind of beat up by a lot of people. And how was he with the media?
He is so great. I mean, I just love the fact that he is open to talking to the media. He's the only owner that I really know that does that on a regular basis. I can't remember Ike ever having a scrum with Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams. So he eats it up. He had a big scrum following the scrimmage where he kind of talked about the Micah Parsons holdout. But then he also talked about his relationship with the press. And he basically says, you and I, you know, the media have decided to spend the majority of our lives devoted to sports. So we're brothers and sisters like that. And we're like, well, okay, kind of. But he's great. He's great.
It is funny, and I'm assuming that he has plenty of time with the fans as well. Like, there's pretty easy access to Jerry Jones. I don't think people realize how insulated NFL owners are. And sometimes, like, we got into this discussion the other day, Adam Hill did, about Tom Brady and the aura around Tom Brady. And, like, even when he's speaking to people, he kind of looks like he's looking through you. Like, you're like, this is a person, like, not on my level. Jerry Jones at least makes himself accessible. Because I also saw the same thing at a Radio Row a couple of years ago. Clark Hunt came in, the Chiefs owner, and he had, like, security detail. Like, I swear, if I had stood in front of the security detail, I think they would have punched me in the face and, like, beat the hell out of me. Like, relax, you're an NFL owner. So I will give Jerry Jones credit on that front. Did you catch? I thought I saw a video or at least a picture of you a short distance away from Micah Parsons was talking to Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah, so he – listen, like – Andrew Whitworth had considered running for the NFLPA, the head of the NFLPA, but he's very involved with that. So, by the way, like, they were talking for a long time. So I know for a fact that the contract was brought up, but, you know, how something like this is handled. I mean, the feeling is, like, there's no way the Cowboys are going to trade him. So, like, where does that leave the player? Where does that leave the team? Obviously, the Cowboys have a track record at this point of doing this the past couple of years when you look at CeeDee Lamb and did Dak Prescott, and obviously it works out, but it's just a weird situation. So he got some advice from Andrew Whitworth, you know, what that means, I'm not quite sure. I still get the sense, having gone to that one practice yesterday and talking to some of the media that covers the Cowboys, that this thing is going to get resolved. But it's just like there's no need for it to be dragged out this long right up until the first week of the season.
Every year. Arash Markazi is with us, King of L.A. He's got two sandwiches here in Vegas, so we call him Mr. Vegas. I mean, that's a pretty good crowning achievement. There are a lot of people upset about that, very sassed about it. You can find his stuff up on SportingTribune.com and at SportingTrib up on Twitter. Willie, of course, is a contributor on that site as well. All right, tell me about the Rams being there and some of the storylines around the Rams.
Listen, the biggest story is the health of Matthew Stafford, and Sean McVay did say that, you know, listen, you know, if we were playing on Sunday, which they're not, that he could potentially play. But whenever you have someone who's 37 years old, having lower back issues, having to get like an epidural shot, and we're not even into obviously the first week of the season. So, you know, like, what is he going to look like? Let's just say he suits up and starts week one, you know, if he gets hit, you know, like, so there is some concern. I mean, when the Rams signed Stafford and there was some question about whether he was going to come back, you know, the feeling was like he's going to come back for one more year or maybe like a 1+1. So it's not like he's signed to a long-term deal, but they definitely expected him to play. They're obviously very excited about the potential partnership of Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, and what they could do with Stafford. But we have not seen that. He has not suited up at all. He's not expected to. So if Stafford plays, it'll only be, or the first time that we'll see him is the first week of the season.
Andrew Whitworth slimmed down a little bit, right? He's still not carrying like 315 pounds, which guys can go either way. Former NFL linemen, some of them can put on 100 pounds. Others, boy, I'm trying to think. Is it Nick Hardwick from the Chargers?
Oh,
went from
great.
Like a 290-pound center to weighing like 215. He's like a freaking bodybuilder. Well,
right.
Speaking of that, the offseason, the summer, has been a summer of slimming for Big Fella on the Lakers, and that's kind of a shot at him because I think he was probably weighing in excess of 250. But Luka looks a lot better. I've kind of asked everyone about Luka and the weight loss. Are we doing too much on the weight loss, or do we actually tie the weight loss to some sort of a commitment? Like, hey, I will do this, and then you know what? Here you go, Luka. Here's a massive extension from the Lakers.
You know, the commitment here just reminds me a little bit of Shaq. You know, when Kobe and a lot of the players got on him for his weight gain towards the end of their time together, they traded him to Miami. And what the weight loss is associated with this motivation and this chip on your shoulder and people thinking that you can't do it. So obviously after Luka gets traded from the Mavericks to the Lakers, it's not only about the weight, but it's about the beer and the hookah, and he's not committed and all this stuff. Well, he's clearly committed. So he's in the best shape of his life. And there's this feeling of, well, the talent has always been there. I mean, he's a 26-year-old, five-time first-team all-league. So you combine that weight loss and the physical fitness with the God-given talent that he has. Like, there's this feeling of, okay, like, he's going to reclaim his spot as one of the top two or three players in the league. And we've seen that with some of these MVP numbers. Like, he's right up there now with the Joker and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And again, that's where he was going into last season before the trade.
I think the extension is a really big deal. I think there's a lot of people out there who think Luka extending with the Lakers, oh, that was given the entire time. I've noticed the Lakers putting in extra effort, really kissing his booty to make sure that he's happy. Make sure that he feels like he's the franchise. He's a big deal. The extension is not an automatic. You know, they're not in a position where they have some big advantage over everyone else.
No, and they really, really made it very clear to him that this is your franchise. And, you know, no disrespect to LeBron. I mean, you just have to remember a year ago, like, the Lakers drafted LeBron James' son, who had never started a single collegiate game. So, I mean, we just have to, like, it's okay for teams to turn the page. And, again, they're paying LeBron James over $50 million this season. But I love it, guys, that this is sort of like the new tradition of teams. Whenever they want to celebrate something, where do they go? They go to Las Vegas. So as soon as Luka signs that long-term extension with the team, him and his teammates – led by Mark Walter, the new, you know, majority owner of the Lakers, they go to Vegas, they go to the Sphere, and they go to see the Backstreet Boys. What a beautiful thing.
And LeBron wasn't there.
Like, I don't expect LeBron to be there. Like, Austin Reeves wasn't there, Marcus Smart wasn't there, DeAndre Ayton wasn't there. Like, we could go over like half
of the Arash Markazi wasn't there.
I was bummed about that, Willie. Like, I should have been invited to that.
That's the bigger storyline. It really is.
I agree.
We understand that LeBron doesn't need to be there, but where the heck was Arash Markazi for this? You know where also Arash Markazi, I'm assuming, wasn't, because I didn't see video, but you know who I did get video from, third row behind on the first base side, Dodger Stadium today, was one Jordan Ramirez.
Oh.
But the Dodgers lost. He was excited to see Shohei. That comes out firing, strikeouts, hits a shot, and the Dodgers end up losing. This is the third major league game Jordan has been to this year. The home team favored in each game has lost. We now have a betting trend surrounding my son.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame Jordan, but what a cool moment to see Shohei Ohtani pitch, and he pitched extremely well, and he hit a two-run homer. The Dodgers are struggling, and, you know, for the longest time, like, I've really tried not to be worried about this, but this is a longer thing than just a couple of weeks. I mean, this is a really bad, what are we at, like a 27-game stretch where they are, like, a below 500 team. I think they'll pick it up. I think they'll turn it around. But this is definitely not having the same vibes that this team had a year ago. A year ago this time, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're World Series champs, no doubt about it. I'm really not as sure this season.
You know who is keeping L.A. in a good mood off the charts here? L.A. Sparks.
Oh, what an amazing win. Again, I know Caitlin Clark wasn't playing, but you have over 16,000 fans packing Crypto.com Arena. This team is very exciting. And again, like now there's kind of talk in town, like, are you going to the Sparks game? Are you going to get tickets to the Sparks game and see them play? You got Cameron Brink back, you know, star quality there. Add to that, of course, your favorite Willie Kelsey Plum and De'Erica Hamby and Rekia Jackson. I mean, this is a team that, again, you've talked about this for quite some time, but, you know, if they can kind of go on this run here, sneak into the playoffs, that's a huge building block for a young team that I really think has high expectations for a year from now.
Just to throw a wrench in what you just said, one of the worst three-point shooters in the league this season if she was playing, they wouldn't have won. Caitlin Clark is
the gatekeeper, Willie.
Excuse me. Wait a minute.
Anything good with Caitlin Clark? Let me finish.
Wait a minute. She's made 3 3-pointers on the road this season. So what makes you think if she played in L.A. on the road, where she's been horrible, she's been one of the worst 3-point shooters on the road this season, it's not going to make a difference. It's not gatekeeping. It's
the sample size is 5 games.
Okay,
small.
Okay. Well,
come on now.
Oh, stop it.
Boy, you know what, though? You hit on a storyline that could be developing here. It is. Sparks are the 9 seed at 13-15. The Aces are 15-14. Look out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. I got to close on a couple details about L.A. sports on this front. Not a big soccer guy, but who's the Korean dude that they just paid a record transfer for MLS? I kind of wonder if LAFC is kind of looking to corner that Korean market, very much like the Dodgers have cornered the Japanese market.
I mean, that is the big thing here. I mean, obviously, we have a very big Koreatown here. K-pop is very big here. That sold out Crypto.com Arena on multiple nights recently. This is, and again, when you think about some of the biggest names that have come over to Major League Soccer over the years, whether it's Lionel Messi and David Beckham, I mean, for this to be the biggest transfer fee in Major League Soccer history should give you a sense of how big a name this is. But you touched on it. This is really to effectively get Korea's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, if folks are not familiar with soccer, I mean, that would be the best comparison that I could possibly make for Sun Young-min, which is just to say this guy is the biggest deal in Korea, and they signed him. So I they've always drawn well. So it's not like this is like a team that was like not doing well. But all their games, I imagine, will be sold out. The jerseys are going to be flying off the shelves there. And just for the Korean soccer fans out there, this is a massive deal.
So believe it or not, I was watching SummerSlam, and I watched the John Cena match, which did get a little bit long. I didn't love the close of the match against Cody Rhodes. And it was done, and I'm like, okay, let me turn it off. And then I'm up on line 5 hours later. I'm like, wait, Brock Lesnar showed up?
Oh, you can never turn it off, Steve, by the way.
What a dumbass, right? Are you surprised Brock is back with kind of pending litigation going back to the Vince McMahon and the sexual harassment? That's a little weird, isn't it?
I am, but then I think we have some answer for why they didn't have these post-fight press conferences. I really enjoyed that as someone who's covered WWE. Like, they have, over the past year, have these like UFC Dana White-type post-fight pressers, but they like out of nowhere decided not to have it in New York for SummerSlam, and we were kind of trying to figure out why, and then it was pretty clear, like, okay, like Brock is back, and that question was for sure going to get brought up. I am surprised, but I have no idea, but I'm assuming that they've looked into it some, and I don't know whether they've cleared his name or whatever. I am surprised, because listen, this is an immensely popular sport. They just inked a close to $2 billion deal with ESPN. Again, when WrestleMania is in Vegas next year, that will be on ESPN. That's a really cool thing, not to be on pay-per-view or streaming. You're at home, you turn on your TV, you are going to be watching this event. So I am surprised. I am surprised.
Do we want Vegas' WrestleMania to feature more Jelly Roll?
Listen, I respect guys who take bumps like that. And for those who are not familiar, Jelly Roll was on the table. And then you have Logan Paul, celebrity versus celebrity, coming off the top rope and onto the announce table. Like, I love moments like that. So, you know, back in the day, you would have these celebrities who would be like the timekeeper or like the ring announcer. And it's like, who the heck cares? Like, when you see Bad Bunny or Logan Paul or Jelly Roll go off the top rope or like break the announce table, that is cool to see. So props to Jelly Roll. I would love to see him. I would love to see him there.
Arash, fired up. All right, Arash, we're up against it, man. I know you got stuff to do. We appreciate it. Good spot. Left a lot on the cutting room floor. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
We did. I have a bunch of stuff to get into with Arash already next week. There's a lot going on in L.A. and in Vegas. Arash from the Sporting Tribune. He's the CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Check him out up on Twitter at Sporting Trib.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Willie Cofield, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, closing things out in the grab bag. I don't know this story with WNBA player Ari McDonald and Whitlock and a wig. What's happening here?
Jason Whitlock tweeted, any female WNBA fans give me an opinion on Ari McDonald's wig? Looks crazy to me, but I'm no expert. So she quote tweeted it and said, LOL, I usually don't respond to foolishness like this, but I couldn't help myself this time. You're very lame for commenting on a woman's appearance. And for your information, it's not a wig. Don't make me get Stephen A. Smith. Laughing emoji. Stay blessed. Smiling emoji. I have no problem with her calling him out and getting on. I just have one problem with her tweet, her retort. You're very lame for commenting on a woman's appearance. How come it just can't be you're very lame for commenting on another person's appearance? Why is it just women? We can't comment. So I wanted to actually say, so what's up, Ari? That means that he can comment on a man's appearance? This is where we're going. It's always got to just be isolated. How about just a human being's appearance? You know where else I get offended, just for the record, mm-hmm. is when moms, single moms, I've always been offended by, you know, since social media is coming around, a mom's duty or this. You know what? I was a dedicated 6-day-a-week single father from the first week of my son's birthday. So it should all those memes should be a parent, a single parent. It's not just a single mom. It's a single parent. End of story. But, and nevertheless, that's your boy Whitlock. You and Steve Kim.
What was, I love Whitlock. What was the wig? What was he referencing?
I have no clue because there's nothing tied to it. It's just a random tweet that got 911,000 views.
Was it Copper who had her head ripped off?
Kalia Copper had
something on, right?
Well, I don't know
and,
if
like,
it.
The
yeah,
hair went
yeah,
flying.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was a weave or a
Speaking of things flying, your girl Sophie had something fly at her last night in L.A.
Yeah, third time with a. We'll use the reference once, a green dildo on the floor. So,
third game, fourth time.
Oh, fourth time.
Apparently, the first game, where apparently it happened twice in one game.
Yeah.
Didn't know that till after the battle.
Well, it seems like a lot of the players were kind of laughing about it. And then last night, it kind of turned a different way. The coach of the Sparks was kind of pissed off and said, hey, it's lame. It's unprofessional.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Sophie did laugh coming off the floor.
Well, that's the problem.
Kelsey Plum kicked it.
She's laughing about it. You know, some of them laugh about it. I mean, whatever. It's just to go back to the point about branding, like all women don't have to think the same way. If some of them think it's funny, it is dangerous, though.
It's
anytime you're throwing anything on the court.
What I want to know is where's the clear bag policy? Where's the, and, you know, not bringing things, you know, I don't know. It's,
hey, how do you bring stuff in?
Well,
is security lax at all these WNBA games as compared to NBA or NFL?
Unfortunately, when people are asking that on social media, the answer is getting pretty raunchy. I'll just leave it there.
Oh, yeah, you got to get it in different ways. Sure. Yeah. I'm not going to, personally. I'll just tell you that. Not worth it for me to throw a green wiener on the floor. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Aaron Donald got people worked up today because he teased that if the Rams get Micah Parsons in a trade, he may think about unretiring. Micah then responded to that and said, man, don't tell me info like that, and also tagged his agent. I'm kind of disappointed at what Micah is doing right now. Maybe him being in Oxnard and being around camp, because we just talked to Arash Markazi, who was up in Oxnard with the Rams up there, and Parsons is talking to Andrew Whitworth. Like, why are you there at all? Is that a way to avoid fines?
I don't know.
Like, bro, if you're going to do this, you said you don't want to be on the team anymore. Why are you around the team?
Yeah,
leave.
Yeah, and I don't think – I just think it's a bad move all in general. You know what I mean? It's trade me is as strong as a statement as holding out. I mean, what are you doing? Why are you there?
Frankly, I don't blame Jerry Jones for being like, he's not serious. I'll just laugh at him and clown him every day. Leave!
It even further puts it in Jerry Jones' court. I mean, you're showing that you want to be around. maybe he wants to be around the media. Maybe like the same way with Ross was saying, you don't see owners that accessible.
Right.
Maybe he wants to be accessible. But the thing is, with this situation, as volatile it is, he can make himself accessible.
Of course. Well, with social media, he doesn't need to be around the media. He can put out messages every day responding to Jerry Jones. He doesn't have to be there. Thanks to Battleborn Injury Lawyers for housing the show. Make sure you call if you need advice. You got a serious case, a case that you got to discuss. Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. Call the number.